Let us remain standing and pray together the prayer of confession found in the Lord. Almighty God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We humbly repent of these failings and consciously turn from our misdeeds back to you. By your great mercy, clean us thoroughly from our sin by the blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Apostle John writes these words in his first epistle. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. By the atoning blood of Jesus, once given, we have full and complete forgiveness for our sins, and have been declared righteous before you by him. Amen. Please take out the prayer list in your bulletin. I don't have any updates on the people who have been on the prayer list, but you'll see we have a new name, Logan. Logan is a 20-year-old friend of one of our members who was recently in a serious motorcycle accident. So you know what that means. He has some serious recovery needs. Please pray for Logan and his serious recovery needs from his motorcycle accident. Do I have any other additions to the prayer list or updates Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, our only Savior, we pray especially for those on our prayer list, for Lorraine, Eleanor, Randy, Mary, Pam, and Logan. You know their needs better than any of us, and we pray that their needs be met in a way that brings comfort to them and glory to you. Furthermore, Lord, give us your grace to take away all hatred and prejudice and whatever else there may be that may hinder us and the whole fellowship of your believers from godly union and peace in you. Just as we are all one body, one spirit, and one Lord, may we also be of one heart, united in your holy bond of faith, truth, peace, and character, so that with one mind and one voice we may glorify you in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, as Jesus himself taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory.
Next hymn is number 391, I Surrender.
Thank you.
Let us now receive our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Dictating the words of this book to people who wrote them down. And who is in a better position to tell us how to live our lives than the one who designed the universe and gave us life? I bet you never thought of that before. This is an understanding for your part. Pretty important. But this, the Bible, is the owner's manual for your very life. Great in the Bible. God, who designed and built the universe, and designed and built each and every one of us. That's why you need to read and understand this book. And that's the best thing. Let us pray. Lord, I pray to speak your words in your house to your people. Amen. Okay. Both of our scripture lessons for this week are quite simple. Indeed, if you look at the title of the sermon, it's entitled The Simplicity of the Gospel. So it's going to be both simple and brief, but I pray, powerful. So, our second scripture lesson for this week is verse B, and it's from the Apostle Peter's first epistle. These words are from chapter 2, verse 7, in which he declares, "To you who believe, he," meaning Jesus Christ, "is precious." He is precious. Now, what are those things that we truly, truly consider to be precious? It's certainly not those things that are merely valuable or those things that are merely special. It's those things that are truly unique. That is, of which there is none other and none better. Now, fellow believers, doesn't that describe our Savior? There's no one more valuable, no one better, and no one more special than Jesus. But most important of all, there is no other. From the book of Acts in verse 6, we know that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. These are redeeming words. These words free us from the chains of mere religion. For if we are forced to save ourselves and make ourselves right with God through religion-based good works, then how can we ever know if we've done enough? But if Jesus does it all for us, then it's truly done. Fully. And completely. Also, consider this. If Jesus Christ alone saves us, then it doesn't matter what amount of good works we can do to do it. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much we give to the poor. It doesn't matter how often we attend church. It doesn't matter if we read the Bible. It doesn't even matter how often we pray. Only Jesus can do it. You might be the kindest, most righteous person in all of Latrobe, but no amount of your good living can do what only Jesus can do. Jesus, the precious one. We don't need to push our way into heaven, because Jesus will pull us in. And pull beats push every day of the week. Consider that a sinner's life is like an old broken down car. So, Is it easier for the owner of that old broken down car to push it by himself to the repair shop? Or to get a tow truck to pull that car to the repair shop? Well, how does he do it? How does Jesus save us? The great prophet Isaiah tells us, look to him and be saved. Look. Just look. So simple. Now, looking doesn't take a lot of work. It's just look. You don't have to go to college and study hard to learn how to look. Anyone can look. The poor and the rich can both look. The sinner and the saint can both look. The young and the old can both look. But for anyone that's looking to themselves, there's no use looking there. Because you'll never find true comfort in yourself. You'll only find darkness and hopelessness. We all need the light. And there's only one who is that light, and that's why Jesus Christ says, look to me, I am all that you need. Some years ago, I looked. I simply looked and trusted Jesus, who is precious, to save me. And as anyone of us looks to and trusts Jesus, he then becomes truly precious to us. Precious beyond measure. Yet, as the great English evangelist Charles Spurgeon often declared, the natural human heart rebels against this simplicity of the gospel. Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to do nothing, nothing but accept what Christ has already done for me? I'm supposed to do nothing except look to Jesus who was nailed to the cross and find all my salvation in him? Well then, says this proud heart, how can anything anyone did 2,000 years ago on the Roman cross have anything whatsoever today to do with me? Everything I have achieved in my life, I have worked for and earned. This I can't understand. And if I can't understand it, I'm not going to believe it. Well, the proud heart can't understand it or believe it because it doesn't like it. And if you'll permit me my own personal opinion, I believe that in most cases, a proud heart is the main difficulty today of people coming to Christ. If so, then that person has to go to God now and seek wisdom and understanding directly from him. God doesn't grade us on a curve. We can't adjust our Bible to the present time. We must adjust our present time to the Bible. We must not seek an expansion of our minds, but a change of our hearts. Otherwise, we risk falling under the trap that Isaiah warned us about in verse 8, which is honoring God with our lips while our hearts remain far from him. But look at verse 8. Because in verse 8, God says, give me your heart, and I will change your mind. Because, verse F, because my Holy Spirit will co-join with your spirit to become one new spirit. And you know what? You will find yourself helping the poor. You'll find yourself attending church. You'll find yourself reading the Bible. You'll find yourself praying. Not because you have to, but because you'll want to. So the simplicity of the gospel, summed up in verse 2, is we aren't doing the work to save ourselves, but letting Jesus do the work in us. Amen. Let us stand together for our final hymn, number 73, It Is Well With My Soul.
Be with us all, evermore. Amen.